So just one or two minor points from Inyanei Hechsher Kelim, and then we're going to begin Hagalas Kelim. Last time we talked about koshering a table and counters. What about a tablecloth and a dish towel? So the poskim imply that kibbutz works to kosher them, and even to get rid of the blios. In other words, laundering doesn't just get rid of the be'en, it even gets rid of the blios. The Rama writes in Sif Yud Zayin, sakim yeshanim, meaning, let's say, bags that were used to hold flour or the like, noagim b'em heter al yidei kibbutz, v'tzarech lahatir kol hatfiro shebahen kodem ha-kibbutz. Fine, you have to undo the knots to get make sure there's no be'en stuck. And if you take a look at the Magen Avraham Amid Vav and the Mishneh Berurah, they write, Mishneh Berurah writes, Aydei kibbutz ratzel lomar b'chamin, v'efer v'chavita. So it's not just any kibbutz, you need kibbutz b'chamin. Why? So I wonder, you could understand that in two ways. One way, and this is I think the Pashup Shat, is that it's not that chamin works like Haggalah and it gets at the blios because kibolo kaf molto, but rather, we know that if you launder in warmer water or hotter water with detergent and the like, it does a better job at cleaning. Dershua quotes Rav Yashiv as saying, you need dafka chamin shayatza lettuce bow, though he gives a very cool shear of yatza lettuce bow of 105 degrees. Maybe he held the other pshat, that it's actually the form of Haggalah, but even that I don't think is so likely. I think the pashtus is that that even though we assume that when it comes to wood or metal or the like, you need kibolo kach polto to get at the blios, that's not true when it comes to fabric. But again, maybe according to Rav Yashiv, you could say the other pshat. The Eshel Avram Buchach says you could be mako even with cold water if you can't do hot water. In other words, he certainly says the pshat is that this is, even if we think it does get rid of the blios, meaning to say, imagine that you spilled hot things onto your tablecloth on Pesach and during the year and the like, still it would be okay. And if you can't use hot water, let's say your tablecloth will get ruined if you launder it in hot water, so at least the buchacher is mako for a cold water wash. Rav Moshe paskins, and it's cited in Dirshu note 87, that you can't be machshir a plastic tablecloth for Pesach. Now that's Rav Moshe l'shitaso. Moshe holds that l'chatchila one shouldn't be machshir plastic for Pesach, and he's saying it doesn't just apply to plates or cups, but it also applies to a tablecloth. And the yesod is that just like we saw in Shulchan Aruch that you need to kasher your table, so too, you should have to kasher your tablecloth. So a cloth tablecloth could be kashered al yedei kibbutz, but a plastic tablecloth can't be kashered. However, we saw that many poskim say during the rest of the year, when going from milchiks and fleishiks, fundamentally you could just wipe down the plastic. And that's because we don't eat off our tablecloths anyway and the like, and while we might be more machmir for Pesach, ikar hadin, this is okay. Just like we saw last time from Rav Willig, that mikra din, you probably don't even have to kosher your counters at all. So kol shekain, tablecloths. Now I saw not everybody agrees with Rav Moshe, that Tzitz Eliezer is mekel and matir for plastic tablecloths, even for Pesach. V'amapos shulchan shel nylon hayom sheniz harim lo lasim cham ubefrat cham shel kli rishon. So then, Sagi bahem shtifa yesodit ba'ofen hanaut lahem. You want to kosher your plastic tablecloth for Pesach, so just rub it down and scrub it well, and you're fine. Now, he says, well, maybe sometimes it becomes, it's used al yedei iroi. So he says, for this you could be somech on rov tashmisho, because you can't be machshir al yedei iroi, miyot tashmisho, like we saw in the Ramah. So if you did, it's not, again, if you couldn't do iroi at least on your plastic tablecloth, so then you could follow Rov Tashmisho and just scrub it down. That's the opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer. Now, Lamaisa, I don't think we would be makel for plastic tablecloths. Okay, just get new tablecloths for Pesach. If you use plastic, you may as well follow Rav Moshe. It's not such a big deal, A, because you have to be so mechan Rov Tashmishan. Okay, nu. Hesed Muat, why should you get into trouble? But this is very lemaisa when it comes to high chairs. High chair trays are basically like a table or a tablecloth made out of plastic. So do you need to get a new high chair for Pesach? What should you do? So, of course, the high chair tray is used for chametz throughout the year. So there are a number of tzadim lahakal, I think. Number one is, obviously, you're going to clean off your high chair tray to the best of your ability. You'll get off any be'en. And what are you worried about? Worse comes to worse. So we already saw that Rashba held that there's no din of a sfiyah with an Issur Drabbanan. This is definitely an Issur Drabbanan, even if you imagine a worst case scenario, it's Eino Ben Yomo. Number two is, we said when we did the issue of high chair trays for Milchik Shtefleishiks, we said that you could be medayik from some Rishonim that there's no sfiyah from a high chair tray anyway, because the baby takes it himself. You're not feeding him, he takes it himself. And finally, and this is the real reason why one could be makel, the ikar reason is we're makbid not to put anything yatzaletas on a high chair tray, because we don't want the baby to get burnt, right? Nobody's ever going to put something too hot on a high chair tray. Baby might eat it. So therefore, this is dubbed thing that's tashmisho vitzonim. And even though, let's say, we're machmir for the marshal for Pesach, so you could say, oh, maybe you put a davar gush on the high chair tray, and therefore you would need to do mikra din Evan Melubenes, and I think Evan Melubenes is certainly impossible on a high chair tray. The fact is that nobody ever puts very hot things on the high chair tray, and therefore it's enough to wash it. And if you want to be machmir, so then you could do either iroy. In other words, you can kasher with iroy. That won't wreck their high chair. It's meant to get boiling water poured on it. And even though we're not machmir for plastic, even if we are machmir for plastic on Pesach, but for this, which really doesn't even need to be kasher in the first place, one could be somech on iroy, certainly, for your high chair tray. Alternatively, I saw some poskim recommend covering the plastic tray with wrap on some way for Pesach. In my experience, this doesn't work because the babies get very excited about their ability to pull off the wrap from the high chair tray. And it has two problems. A, they're going to pull it off anyway, and B, it leaves like a sticky film on the high chair that lasts forever. Or at least it's very hard to get off afterwards. So, again, there's definitely one who wishes to be machmir to cover it. They can be, but I think there's makom lahakel not to. Now, if you decide not to kasher it, so then probably you shouldn't wash it in your Pesach diksink. Meaning to say, we would be choshesh that they're, you know, lachumra, that maybe there's some blios in there. So wash it in the bathroom or in the laundry room or something like that. Okay. Even that is a chumrah.
And also with a lot of the high chairs, there are like two or three different layers of the tray, so you could always just like take one off.
If you have that, okay. If you use the whole year the bottom layer, you could use the plastic top for Pesach. But if you don't think so far in advance, or you switch it from Milchiks and Fleishiks, right. So then that's not an option. I don't think you have to like get a new top layer for Pesach. You can if you want to, but it's a big chumrah. Okay. Other things, like we said, that if they're just tashmishim b'tzonein, so you don't have to kasher them. An example would be a dish rack. I saw in the Sefer Hagalas Kalim. So he says you don't need a new dish rack for Pesach. You should just clean your old one very well, and that's good enough. Again, this is one of those things that I tried talking my wife into, and she didn't buy it. So you shouldn't, there's makom lahachmir, but I don't know if it's necessary. What about an urn? Could you kasher your urn for Pesach? So let's think about it. What's our concern? So steam, right? I go ahead and I pour a cup of coffee, and then steam comes up from my cup of coffee up back onto the urn. So the concern would be that it might be atzoletis bo. So this brings us back to what we talked about earlier this year. Remember, according to the simple reading of the Ramah, if the steam is yad soledis bo, it could trafe up the thing that it reaches. According to the Makor HaDavar of the Ramah from the Truma Sadeshin, that would only be if the actual top, let's say the pot cover, or in this case the urn, was Yad Zo Lettuce Bow. And remember, if Willig thought you could follow the Truma Sadeshin. The truth is, though, that I'm not sure the steam is Yad Zo Lettuce Bow. It's very hard to measure the temperature of steam, because steam itself is quite hot. But when you feel it on your hand, it's not quite hot, right? If you put your hand on top of your coffee cup, some people, you know, you do that when you're cold in the winter, you put your hand there. But that's because it's low pressure. It's not because it's not so hot. It's not clear how to measure the temperature halachically of steam. In the Glanix urn, so Aviam tested it to see whether the spout was Yad Zo Lettuce Bow, even right after you used it to pour coffee, and he said it wasn't. So maybe you don't even need a kasherit at all. And even if you do need a kasherit, so l'chora we saw that most poskim say that if it was used al yidei zeah, you could kasherit al yidei iroy. So l'chora you could kasherit al yidei iroy. And if you think, even though it's plastic, if you think you don't really need a kasherit in the first place because it stays cold, so then to say we could be makel for plastic, for something that doesn't need to be kashered, so we already saw that's something that the many poskim do accept. Rabbi Forst, now what about the rest of the urn? So here we have to distinguish between the old-fashioned metal urns and the newer type of plunger pump urns. In terms of the old-fashioned metal urns, so then they are certainly Yad Zo Lettuce Bow all around, right? If you actually touch your urn, you'll burn yourself. So Rabbi Forst is concerned that since it's around the kitchen and there's so much chametz flying all over the place, so you never know, maybe the outside of the urn also was boleya from chametz, which is a chiddush, not obvious that you'd have to be choshish for that. I guess if you use your, some people like keep their challah up on top of the urn, so then you definitely would be concerned about something like that. But some people always have like a thing, you know. So it depends how you use it. But Rabbi Forst was concerned about that. But he points out that in a pump urn, there's no such concern, because the pump urn is totally cold on the outside. It's really two separate kalim. It's not even the same kli. There is an inner glass thing or metal thing that's hot, but it's surrounded by something else which is cold. So l'chora over there, even if you were concerned with Rabbi Forst's concern of chametz getting on it, it would be no problem to simply, you know, wash it well, scrub it off, clean it off, and it should be fine. Nevertheless, Rabbi Forst still thinks you should get a separate Pesach urn. So Rabbi Forst is on, among the machmirim. He says you should get a Pesach urn, certainly for metal and even for pump. On the other extreme, Rabbi Gedalia Dov Schwartz says, no, you don't have to even kosher the urn at all. I'll read you from the Lashon of the CRC. Rav Schwartz said that if it is the type of urn which is not brought to the table, is never used for anything but heating water. In other words, let's say he's even more makel. Let's say you know you didn't use your urn to make tradition soups. You only use your urn for coffee and tea, and is not washed with chametz items. It may be used for Pesach without koshering. If it is small enough to be brought to the table, is used to heat other beverages, or you warm your challah on top, or you clean it with vinegar. Some people clean their urns with vinegar to remove the buildup of the calcium. So then you should kasher it for Pesach. Others say you should kasher it, do hagala or the like. So I think most people do buy a new urn for Pesach to paint a kasher and the like, and there's makom lahachmir, but I think it's a betaras chumrah.
If you're machmir to kasher because of the zeya, so you just have to kasher the spout?
If your only concern is the spout, and you're not concerned with the chametz falling on the rest of it, then yes.
And how would you do that?
I would do iroy. Yeah, I would turn it upside down and do iroy going that way, and then turn it the other way and do iroy that way. Okay. There are a lot of technical halachos. Do you need a kasher, this, that, or the other thing? But I think we're out of time, so we're not going to go through the details. But if you look at the back of the Tefillas Kelim Sefer in the last section, he has a section of like everything you might have ever imagined, and whether it needs to be kashered and how it needs to be kashered. So Ayin Shem.
So are all these things on Pesach, the only concern is if you're going to end up using these for Okel, is there no Bayira concern with these that
so, come into them? Okay, so let's, we'll make that the last point. So if you look at the Sif Aleph, Simen Tafnan Aleph, this is no longer talking about the issue of Hechsher Kalim, but Hilchos Pesach. So Sif Aleph says that you don't need to break your kelim for Pesach or sell your kelim for Pesach. What you should do is you should, if you're not going to kosher your kelim for Pesach, so then you should clean them off to make sure that you have no ban, and then put them away. And the Shulchan Aruch, in other words, you don't have to worry about blios in terms of bal yirah, bal yimatzei, and therefore it's enough to be matzniah the kelim. There are some. There is one opinion in Achronim that is concerned about bal yirah and blios and recommends selling the kelim. We are not machmir for that shita. And adarab, if you do that, you might have to be tovel your kelim. So it's a good segue to the next topic. We'll talk about that. Whether if you somebody was machmir, did they have to be tovel their kelim? The chazon ish. So that's a joke. You can't sell blios without, like, you know, we don't want to. Mechiras chametz looks like a joke enough as it is. If you start trying to sell the blios in kelim, then it's really chucho tula. So the standard practice is not to sell kelim, not to sell blios in kelim, and the like. If you don't want to bother cleaning your kelim from be'en, let's say you're not in the mood to clean your toaster out for the be'en. So if you sell, you could sell it. Then you could sell you could sell the be'en on the kelim and put it with the other chametz you sell. Again, there I wouldn't sell the blios. I would sell, and I don't want to sell the toaster because then I would have to be tovel a toaster again, assuming toasters need tefillah, which we'll get to Vezus Hashem shortly. But you could sell the be'en on the pesa on the toaster. You don't have to specify it because you say in the standard star mechira, all chametz in my house and especially located in place. So you go, you put your toaster in the pantry along with all the other things you're selling, and you seal it off and the like. And that would be fine. And if you do want to clean your dishes, or stab dishes are presumed clean, dishes in the cupboard, so then you don't have to sell them, and you don't have to worry about blios. Now, just since we brought this up, one ha'ara, I was noticing when we were going through these halachos. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you should be matznia the kelim that you sell, that you're not using on Pesach, the chametz de kelim. Again, you don't have to sell them, the chametz de kelim. Why? Because we're concerned that you might go ahead and use the kelim without thinking on Pesach. After all, use them the rest of the year, and it's preferable, it's tov, to go ahead and lock them up and hide the key. So first of all, the poskim say, Moshe is quoted by Rabbi Eider as saying this, you don't have to actually lock them up and hide the key. Any type of hacker will be sufficient. So using tape and the like is enough. Why? Because by the time I break through the tape and the like, I'll remember, oh, on Pesach, I'm not supposed to use these. Okay, so that's a minhag olam. The minhag olam is, correctly, that if there's a cabinet full of chametz stick dishes, so you put some type of lock on it, or you tape it up, and that's sufficient. Now, that's in Simen Tafnan Aleph. If you look at Simen Taf Mem Siv Beis, there it talks about what's the halacha if you have chametz of a guy in your rishus. Again, that has to be that you're not chayv b'achrayas, otherwise you're over in bal yirah bal yimatzeh. But let's say you have chametz of a guy in your rishus that's not chayv b'achrayas. So there the Shulchan Aruch says that you need a mechitzas yud tvachim. And the pashtus from the poskim is this is dafka, this is an actual mechitzah of yud tvachim. What's the idea? We're more machmir when it comes to chametz in your rishus than we are to kelim, for obvious reasons. So therefore, there's no halacha of having a mechitza in front of your kelim, your chametz de kelim, for there it's enough to tape it up or lock it up. But when it comes to actual chametz, so the halacha is you should have a mechitza. Now the mechitza could be a tablecloth that's taped down, let's say, or if you have it in a pantry, so you close the door to your pantry and you tape it up or you lock it, and that would be fine. Your door to the pantry is a mechitza. If you have like a bookshelf or type thing where you put your keep your chametz, so you could take a bag and tape it down. Mishabura sounds like we're makbid on dinei mechitza, so you could tape it down at the bottom also. You're going to cause an issue, you wouldn't need to, but you could use a tablecloth for a mechitza. But a practical application of this that people sometimes don't realize is that sometimes people will go ahead, they'll have a freezer, and they sell their chametz, so half of their freezer will be filled with chametz, and half of their freezer will be filled with kosher Pesach things. Now this is a problem, because there's no mechitza. It's very hard to build a mechitza inside your freezer to separate the two sections. So if you want to, we'll accept that if you want to keep chametz in the freezer, so you could designate a whole freezer for chametz and then tape up the freezer. If we'll accept his freezer, it says this freezer belongs to John Brown, and that's fine, and then it's taped up. Okay, but if you're going to, but it's inappropriate, since it's impossible practically to have a mechitza, to have half of your freezer chametz, half the freezer of Pesach. Like, even if you go ahead and you put tape and lock it and this and that, still the Shulchan Aruch says you need a mechitza, and therefore, now if it's just not actual chametz, it's things that we sell because, you know, we're concerned that anything without a kosher for Pesach, OUP, might be chametz, so then it's okay to keep it in the freezer and tape it up in a bag and the like. But if it's actual chametz, so then you would need a mechitza. Yeah.
Why couldn't, I'm just confused, why couldn't you take like a big sheet of silver foil and just put it over?
That probably doesn't have, it needs a sartfachim. If you have a really big freezer, maybe you could. But you need mechitza shel asar tefachim, the Shulchan Aruch says.
A shelf of your cabinet also doesn't have asar tefachim.
But that's a different rishus. In other words, the whole cabinet sealed off. So probably, anyway, the door to the cabinet creates a mechitza of ten tefachim, and it's a different rishus in there. That's that. There you probably do have dinei mechitza.
So the freezer thing would be the same thing?
Same thing for a cabinet. You shouldn't have a cabinet half chametz, half not chametz. Again, if it's dishes, and you tape up the dishes or the like, or it's not really chametz, it's chvase, you know, your spices. So we get all new spices for Pesach, but, you know, we don't really think that the pepper is chametz. So then if you tape it up and you put it behind a bag and the like, and there's no chash, you're going to come to use it, that's fine. But again, if you're dealing with real chametz, then one should be makbid for a mechitza. Okay, Ad Kan Divrei Hechsher Kalim.